So I thought that this week we would talk about emunah for a couple of reasons. Number one is this week's parsha. We have the mitzvah of Anochi, which which we'll see, according to many Rishonim, is a mitzvah of believing in Hashem. And also, I thought that a number of you raised some questions to me about last week's shiur, not so much about the practical elements, but more the conceptual idea of emunah and what is emunah supposed to be based off of and the like. So I thought that today would be a wonderful time to talk about it. So if you turn to the packets, we'll begin with the Rambam. And this is the very beginning of the Rambam. The Rambam, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. So this is really where we should start. You could have argued that shiur number one should have begun with this. Because what does the Rambam say over here? Yisod ha-yisodos amud ha-chachmos. So what we're going to do now is figure out what is the foundation of foundations, the pillar of all wisdom. The Rambam begins with also a remez to Havaya Yudke Vavke. So what is the pillar? Leida Shiesha Matsui Rishon. To know that there is a first existent. So this word Leida is very, very important. We have to figure out what does Yediya mean. Very significantly, Rambam doesn't use the word emuna here. As we'll see at the end of this paragraph, the Rambam is talking about the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, but he uses the word Leida, to know. So what we need to figure out is how do we translate Leida, or what is the connotation of Leida? But let's read on a little bit. So what is it that you have to know? Shiesham Matsui Rishon. There's a first existent. Now, this is also sort of interesting. We all talk about belief in God. We never really define God. I believe in Hashem, but what does that mean? What is Hashem? So the Rambam, in clarifying the mitzvah of emunah, or again, maybe we should more accurately call it yediya, we'll say the mitzvah of Anochi, tries to somewhat define what is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to believe in what? So he says there's a matzui rishon, a first being. V'hu mamtzi kol nimtza, he caused everything else into being, into existence. So he brought everything into existence. An interesting question is, why does he use the word mamtzi and not bara? I hope we'll have a chance to get back to the question. The Rambam might answer that question in Mor Nevuchim, actually. But hu mamtzi kol nimtza, he brought everything else into existence. Everything else that exists, he is the cause for their existence. V'chol ha-nimtza'im mishamayim v'aretz, u'ma she'beinehem, lo nimtzu ela me'amitas himatz'o. And everything else that exists, from shamayim to aretz and everything in between, only exists because of the truth of his existence. V'im ya'aleh al hadas shehu einu matzoi, if one were to imagine or to consider that he doesn't exist. Now, the Rambam isn't suggesting that you do this. The Rambam is giving a sort of negative type of proof. In other words, we could prove that he does exist in the following way, maybe not a proof, but a way of looking at it. So if you were to imagine that he doesn't exist, ein davar acher yachol lehimatzos, nothing else could exist. And even if you were to imagine that nothing else does exist, there's no other existence. In other words, we don't exist. If you were to imagine that, still, he would exist. And he would not be negated due to our negation. All existences depend upon him, and he doesn't depend upon them. neither all of them nor one of them. Lefikach ein amitaso kamitas echad mehen. Therefore, his truth is not like their truth or even the truth of any one of them. I think what the Rambam means here is that God's existence is a necessary truth, as opposed to anything else that exists, which is what we could call an accidental truth. In other words, this pencil that I'm holding right now happens to exist, but at one point it didn't exist. Presumably, at one point it's not going to exist. It happens to exist, but it's not necessary to exist. It's not a necessary existence. We could imagine its non-existence, or the way more contemporary philosophers like to put it, it doesn't exist in all possible worlds. Whereas God's existence, the Rambam is saying, is a necessary truth, meaning to say it doesn't just happen to be that way, it must be that way. It's inconceivable to be otherwise. And therefore, even if nothing else existed, he would exist. His existence is not dependent upon anything else. Our existence, or anything else's existence besides God's existence, is a dependent existence. It's not an independent existence. It's not a necessary existence. And the Rambam says, so that's what it means, that the truth of our existence is not like the truth of his existence. Our existence is true. We do exist, but we just happen to exist. It doesn't have to be that way. But his existence is a necessary truth. Continuing the Rambam, Hu Shanavi Omer, Vashem Elokim Emes. This is what the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says. God is true. What does it mean, God is true? Hu Levado HaEmes, Ve'en Lachad, Ve'en Lacher Emes Kamito. He alone is Emes. There's no other MS like his MS. Again, what does it mean? Something, you know, usually we think something's either true or it's false, right? What does it mean? Something is more true. What he means is it's a different type of truth. Something could be a necessary truth or an accidental truth. His truth is a necessary truth. Our truth, meaning the truth of our existence, is an accidental truth. So when the Pasuk says that Hashem is MS, and we allude to this, that's why Dafka were very makbid after the third parsha of Shema to connect to the beginning of Emes V'Yatziv. You can't be mafsik between Ani Hashem Elokeichem and Emes, to emphasize this point, which the Navi Yirmiyahu says explicitly.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Are we defining Hashem's existence as Emes? The word existence means Emes?
No, he didn't. I don't know if I would define his existence as MS. The Rambam is saying that he is a necessary existent, right? And that means when we say he's a necessary existent, he needs to exist. He necessarily exists. That means that the truth of his existence is an absolute truth. He didn't equate Hashem with MS. That might be what's meant when we say Chosmo Shal Hashem Emes. What Chazal might be alluding to that point. They're not just saying that God tells the truth in the sense that he doesn't lie, but rather it means that his existence is a necessary truth. That might be the meaning of that.
Rabbi, doesn't necessary existence mean that there's nothing that existence is dependent on for its existence?
Yes.
Meaning a non-necessary existence depends on other things. I depend on my parents and on oxygen and on a
right.
million
well,
other
it's even more fundamental than that.
God's existence does.
That's correct, what you're saying. It's even more fundamental than, it's not just that it doesn't depend on other things. It has to be that way. It's inconceivable otherwise. In all possible worlds, God exists. Right. So you're right that he's not dependent like we're dependent. Like you said, we're dependent on oxygen. God is not dependent on anything. That's true. But Rambam is saying even more than that. Rambam is saying that he's a necessary existent, meaning it couldn't be otherwise. He couldn't not exist.
Right. I mean, that's the same thing. Meaning,
OK, good.
If my parents weren't here, I wouldn't be here. And that's what makes me. But yeah, for sure. Thank you for clarifying.
Okay, so let's keep on going in the Rambam. V'hu she'atorah omeres ein od milvado. Kilomar, ein sham matsui emes milvado kamoso. So what does the pasuk mean when we say ein od milvado? Ein od milvado, maybe you'd think that means that nothing exists besides him. That's not true. We do exist. Lots of things exist. He created them. It means that there's nothing besides him that's a necessary existent, right? There's no matsui emes. There's no necessary existent besides him. That's what there's nothing besides him means. Nothing else necessarily exists besides him. Hamatsuya zeh, this matsui that we've defined, this existent that we've just defined, who eloka ha'olam, adon kol ha'aretz. So now the Rambam is telling us a little bit about God, a little more. He's the Elohim ha'olam, he's adon kol ha'aretz. So he is the God of the world. He's the Lord of the entire existence. V'hu hamanhig hagalgal bekoach she'en lokates v'tachlis. Bekoach she'en lo hefsek. She'agalgal sovev tamid. V'iafshar she'yasuv below misavev. So what does this mean? What are all these spheres? What is he talking about? So what he's saying is that this power continues without interruption because the sphere is revolving constantly. And it's impossible for it to revolve without someone causing it to revolve. And so it's he who causes it to revolve without any hand or any other corporeal dimension. So what is he talking about here with the reference to the sphere? So it's a reference to the Aristotelian notion of the universe, which had a series of crystalline spheres. There was the earth, and surrounding the earth was another sphere and another sphere and another sphere, and everything spun. And then there was this idea of the unmoved mover, that's God, who causes all of these spheres to spin. And that's what he's saying, that he causes everything else to spin without being corporeal. In other words, without having any physical dimension whatsoever. Now, I don't think that we should believe in that conception of the universe, but I don't really think that that's relevant for the basic point that he's making. Whatever conception you have of the universe, the point is that what's causing it all to go, what started it, what's causing it to continue, whether you look at it as spheres or you look at it the way we look at the universe, is irrelevant. What he's trying to say using the science of his time was that God is the cause for everything that happens. And he uses terminology which obviously relate to Aristotle's conception of the universe of these concentric spheres. We're going to talk about a number of points here, including the usage of the word tamid, which is actually very interesting. Shagagal sodev tamid, but we'll get back to that a little bit later. Let's finish the halacha. V'yadiyas davar zeh mitzvah saseh. So knowing this, what does this mean? I think everything that we've read until now, meaning to say that God is a necessary existent, and he's the God of the earth, God of Shamayim, he controls everything. Without being in any way physical, knowing that is a mitzvah. Shenemar Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So even though the pasuk of Anochi is not formulated as a tzivoy, as opposed to other mitzvos, Hashem doesn't say, you must know the following. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Seisicha Mitzrayim. The Rambam understands, and we'll talk about a little later how he knew that this was a mitzvah. But the Rambam understands that it is a mitzvah. Knowing this is a mitzvah. Okay, so there's a lot to talk about here.
It says Dovrze. Isn't that one thing? We just gave a list of a lot of things. And
So that's a great point. So I think the answer is Rambam saw everything he just said as one thing. In other words, God's existence. But when we say God's existence, first of all, we have to define what God is. And second of all, we have to define what existence is. Existence means necessary existence, and God is as he defined it. So I think the Rambam would say it's davar zeh, and as we'll see in a moment, the Rambam thought that we could see all of that in the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. In other words, everything he said, and again, we'll explain how, is included in Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So let's first start off with the beginning of the word Leida. What does Rambam mean? Again, we're going to break up this and we'll go through it slowly, but we'll start with Leida. So what does the word Leida mean? The term Leida implies more than simple belief without understanding. In other words, for the Rambam, I think just saying, I believe in God is not enough. Like he says, Yedias davar zeh. We have to have a somewhat of a deeper understanding of what God is and the nature of his existence. That doesn't mean you have to be a philosopher to be mekayem the mitzvah of Anochi. The Rambam does not think that, as we'll see. But you do have to think about what it means to believe in God. In other words, we talk about God, what is God? So that's what the Rambam says, that this is something that you have to know. And it is significant that the Rambam, in these first four prakim of Yisodei HaTorah, the foundations of Torah, does actually discuss the basics of science and philosophy, or physics and metaphysics, the nature of God and the nature of the world. That's what he's going to discuss in these first four prakim, more or less. So doesn't mean that the things following this are included in Anochi, but at least everything that we just said, that is the mitzvah of Anochi, which demands Yediyah. Now, what does it mean to know? Does to know mean that you have to be able to prove? So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim actually has four proofs for the existence of God. He does think that you could prove God's existence. Does the Rambam think that if you're not able to prove God's existence, then you don't fulfill the mitzvah Anochi? So the answer is no, I don't think so. It's not, and I'll try to show it to you shortly. The Rambam doesn't think you have to be, it's a better way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Anochi is to be able to prove God's existence. But if you know God's existence, even though you can't prove it, you're still in fulfillment of the mitzvah. So let's actually...
I mean, in what sense can you know it without proving it?
We'll talk about that. But for now, I'll just answer that there are things a person can know and even know with certainty without being able to prove them. There are lots of things I think we would say that we know with certainty, though we can't prove that they're true. So if a person knows that God exists, even though he can't prove it, then he is in the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Anochi. And we'll see the Rambam says this explicitly.
So what's an analog of such a thing?
Do you know you exist? I would even argue that there are things that there are many more things that you can know with certainty, though you can't prove it. You probably also, I could say I know with certainty that George Washington existed, though I don't know if I could prove it.
Is that what Rambam means by Das?
I think that Rambam says you need to know this. That's what I mean, to know that God exists. And we will see. The Rambam, we'll read the Maor Nevuchim in a moment. But yes, let's say a little better. There's an interesting question that comes up over here, which is that the Rambam in the Mishneh Torah says a lashon of Yediyah. If we look at the Sefer HaMitzvos, it's translated as Emunah. Take a look a little later down on your sheets. So the next on your sheets afterwards, we have the paragraph in the Maor Nevuchim, then Ramban, and then the Sefer HaMitzvos. So skip ahead for a moment to the Sefer HaMitzvos. We'll get back to the other sources, Be'ezus Hashem. So in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in the classical Ibn Tibbon translation, remember we talked about the Rav Shmuel Ibn Tibbon earlier, he lived from 1150 to 1230, and he translates the Rambam from Arabic into Hebrew. The Sefer HaMitzvos, unlike Mishneh Torah, was written in Arabic. So the mitzvah is as follows. HaMitzvah Rishona, hi ha-tzivuy asher tzivanu le-amin ha-alokos v'hu shenamin shi'esham ila v'siba v'hu po'el l'chol ha-nimtzos v'hu amro yisparach anochi Hashem al-kecha. So what's the mitzvah of anochi? It's l'ha-amin, to believe that in the divinity. In other words, that here's another translation. Shiesham ila v'siba. So there's a cause for everything. He is the cause for all that exists, and that's the mitzvah v'anochi Hashem al-kecha. So he translates this as l'ha'amin. So an interesting question is that does that have a different connotation? I don't speak Arabic, but it's worthwhile to look. What word does he use here in the Arabic to try to have a better understanding? So the Arabic word that he uses is itakad. The type of Arabic that the Rambam wrote was known as Judeo-Arabic. It was in Hebrew characters, sort of similar to Yiddish. In other words, Yiddish is written with Hebrew characters. So that was the word. So how do you translate that word? So as we saw, the Ibn Tibbon translation is l'hamin. Rav Kapach and Rav Chaim Heller both thought that the correct translation would be to know, leida. And the truth is that that's very compelling because in Mishneh Torah he uses the word leida. Also in the Sefer, the list of mitzvos that's found at the beginning of Mishneh Torah, which was written in Hebrew, but parallels the Taryag mitzvos. In the Sefer Mitzvos, he writes, Mitzvah Rishona, Mitzvah Saseh, Leida, Shiesham Elokah, to know that there's a God. So that being the case, it seems reasonable that that the Rambam holds that there is no mitzvah of mitzvahs in Temuna, it's Yediyah. Nevertheless, we still have to have a better understanding of what does Yediyah mean. So Rav Soloveitchik has an interesting approach to this. Rav Soloveitchik argued that Yediyah means much more than just knowing about God. Yediyah has the connotation of a relationship. Consider that the Torah uses the word Yediyah when it comes to physical intimacy, when it comes to a sign of great love, like when Hashem talks about Avram Avinu Ata Yadati, or Ki Yedativ. Ki Yedativ doesn't mean just know, but it has that connotation of love. So the Rav held that the word leida shouldn't really be translated as to understand, which somewhat implies that a person should, that the mitzvah is to philosophize about the nature of God's existence. First of all, we can't really understand God in the first place. So the Rambam isn't saying that there's a mitzvah to be a philosopher. Again, it could be that philosophy is a fulfillment of the mitzvah, but we wouldn't say it's a mitzvah to be a philosopher. So what does leida mean? So the Rav suggested that the word leida means that we have to have a constant awareness of his existence. a level of consciousness never marred by inattention. And that is, as opposed to, let's say, lahamin. Lahamin just means to believe. If you held that the mitzvah was emuna, there would be no prohibition against inattentiveness. But the word leda here, this is, we can just take a look. You'll see on your shore sheets from the Rav. Leda demands that a person be in a state of perpetual affinity, of constant orientation. God should become a living reality that one cannot forget for a minute. This keen awareness of the existence of God should constitute the foundation of our thoughts, ideas, and emotions in every kind of situation and under all conditions. Everything else inevitably depends upon this supreme article of faith. So the Rav held that, he brought a raya. Where do you see the word yediyah used in this sense? The pasuk in Mishle, Perek Gimel, says, "B'chol derachecha da'ehu," right? In all your ways you shall know him, which means that we must know God in all that we do. And that is what the word itakad means. There's a raya for this, which is what we said before, that the Tursky pointed this out. The word that the Rambam uses in the Sefer Mitzvot, the Arabic word, like we said, itakad, is also used when describing Yerushalayim. It's interesting because the Sefer Mitzvot, if we look at Yerushalayim, which is Mitzvah Dalid, so the Ibn Tibbon translation is like this: the Hamitzvah Harevi'is, he shetivanu leha'amin yiraso yis'aleh. So if you try to translate that into English, the way we usually use the words emuna, doesn't make any sense, right? Again, the mitzvah of Yerushalayim, how does the Rambam translate that according to Ibn Tibbon? L'ha'amin yir'aso, right? What does that mean? To believe in fear? So it doesn't make any sense. So that's why if you actually look at the Kapach translation, he translates it as L'kvoa b'da'ateinu yir'aso yis'ala, to establish in our heart his fear. However, what is Ibn Tibbon talking about? Why does he use this funny phrase? So Ibn Tibbon has a rule for his translation, which is he consistently translates the Arabic words into the same Hebrew words, as opposed to Rav Kapach. Rav Kapach, I don't want to say he fudges things, but I would say, you know, with every translator, you always have a question of a balance between readability and precision. So Kapach Ibn Tibbon was extremely precise. Every Hebrew word corresponds to the Arabic word. So you know that, and you could actually, if you look at the Arabic, you could see this, but if Ibn Tibbon has the mitzvah of, in Yerushalayim, he uses the word lahamin, you know that that's the same word as the mitzvah of emuna, right, of yediyah, whatever you want to call that. So as opposed to, as I said, as opposed to Rav Kapach's translation. So since the Rambam, if he uses the word l'hamin yiraso, so what's he saying? So if you follow Rav Soloveitchik's understanding of itakad, that it connotes a constant awareness, so then itakad in both the first mitzvah and the fourth mitzvah make perfect sense. In other words, the continuation of the fourth mitzvah supports this idea. What does it say? Aval nira bias onsho b'chol eis. In other words, the Rambam is emphasizing what? The constancy of this. So I think that Rav Tursky made this tremendous deal from the Arabic for the Rav's interpretation of what yediyah means. Yediyah means constant awareness. So So how does this constant awareness bring a person to lei dasheisha matzui rishon, v'hum amtzi kol nimtza? So the Rav said that if you live with this awareness, you'll see God everywhere. And you'll truly know that there's a first being. Again, going back to the Rav's language, man goes outdoors on a fair summer's day and sees the whole world blossoming. That man comes to know that there exists a primary being who is the originator of all that there is. In every budding flower, in every rose opening its petals, in every ray of light, and in every drop of rain, to know that there's a primary being and that he is the originator of all that is. And the Rav continues and explains that it's not simply nature that yields this knowledge, but all of our encounters in life, when we perceive them thoughtfully, accomplish that goal. You'll see God everywhere, in current events, in the people you meet, in the things that you see. So that's the Rav's understanding of what Leida is.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Didn't the Rambam describe that as his chiddush in the highest level of hashgacha, when a person has constant awareness? It's not just the basic mitzvah.
Very good question. How could it be the basic mitzvah? How could it be a basic mitzvah? So I think that perhaps, I don't know, but I think perhaps the answer is that mitzvah that he discussed by Hashkacha is the mitzvah in its highest form, or at least the highest possible form. In other words, the level of consciousness that the Avos achieved was an extraordinary fulfillment of this mitzvah. I think that perhaps what the Rav is saying is that a basic fulfillment doesn't mean that it's in the same conscious way. In other words, it's not like the Avos, who the Rambam sort of describes as actively and thinking about God even when they were involved in the mundane aspects of this world. This, what the Rav is describing is a much lower level, and as a basic fulfillment. In other words, it's less conscious. It's always on your mind. I think the Rav in another place compares this to the way a mother thinks about her children, that they're always on the back of her mind, whatever she's doing. They're not always on the front of her mind, that she's busy doing other things, but they're always on the back of her mind. And that relates to everything she does. And so I think that the Rav might say a similar thing here, which is that the extraordinary madrega of the Avos was that Hashem was not just in the back of their mind constantly, but in the front of their mind constantly, even when they were doing other things. Whereas Yediyah, that the Rambam is describing over here, is not that. But your Ha'ara is a good Ha'ara. Regardless of whether you accept Rav Soloveitchik's quite mechudesh dik Havana. It certainly does point, though, to a very important point, that, again, while the pursuit of philosophy, I believe, according to the Rambam, does or can constitute a fulfillment of the mitzvah, and maybe even the most ideal way, as we'll discuss, the mitzvah at its basic level doesn't demand that we philosophize. It demands that we know that there's a mamzi rishon, that's mamzi kol nimsa. Now, so let's take this a step further. If we look at other rishon...
I have a question.
Yeah.
Does Rambam ever talk about knowing God in a way that's not philosophical? It seems that anytime he has this conversation, it's always in the context of philosophy. So I'm just confused. Is the Rav trying to give an explanation of Rambam, or is the Rav trying to use the Rambam as a springboard to give his own novel interpretation?
I didn't see the Rambam say anything about philosophy in this halacha. Did you? He didn't use the word philosophy. No. Good. So why are you saying that?
Which halacha specifically?
The one we just read, where he defines the word anochi, the mitzvah of anochi, or in Sefer HaMitzvos, when he defined the mitzvah of anochi.
Well, in Sefer HaMitzvos,
he didn't use philosophy. He didn't say philosophy.
If we're talking about the first halacha of Yisrael Torah, then that chapter instantly goes into philosophy.
When he defined the mitzvah of Anochi, right, which is the first four or five halachos that we read together,
yeah,
he didn't say philosophy. You're using the word philosophy in a different way. You're imposing, I think, something on the Rambam, the way you're using the word philosophy. So let's try to use the Rambam's words. The Rambam did not say anything about philosophy here, unless this is your definition of philosophy. But the Rambam said that the mitzvah of Anochi is to know that God is a necessary existent. That's what he said, right? He didn't say how to get there, so it doesn't matter how you get there.
But when he does say how to get there, it's always through philosophy.
Show me where you think the Rambam says where he says to get there is through philosophy. Find me where
in Mor Nevuchim.
Read. You think that he didn't define? Well, wait. Well, I'm not sure I agree to that.
Where he offers four.
Let's start with the Mishnah Torah. The Mishnah Torah teaches us how to fulfill the Tarryag Mitzvos, right, including the Mitzvah of Anochi. Does he say anywhere that you have to study philosophy? It would be very strange.
I believe where?
Show me the words.
In the beginning of Perek Beis, I have to look it up. I can look this up.
The beginning of Perek Beis is about Avas Hashem and Yerushalayim, and he's not talking about philosophy. He's talking about.
So I don't have this source
okay.
on my fingers.
So you get back to me. Okay, it's fine. I think that you're falling into somewhat of a trap in the Rambam. You're imposing. Let's learn the Rambam in his own terms. Okay, we could look at. We're very happy to look at what he says in Mor Nevuchim. He didn't say anywhere here. He defined how to fulfill the mitzvah. It is true. So what is necessary to fulfill the mitzvah of Anochi? So far, he just said you have to know this. He didn't tell you how you have to know this. And at least to me, it sounds like if you know this, if you know that God is a necessary existent, that's the source for all other existence, then you have fulfilled the mitzvah of Anochi. Those are what the words say.
I don't understand how one can know that without doing philosophy, according to the Rambam. I'm not seeing anywhere in Rambam where he discusses another way of getting there.
The Rambam doesn't tell you philosophy. A way that you need to get there so far.
He does elsewhere. That's why we have to look at those other sources.
Let's build this step by step. Step by step. Okay. Let's, before we go there though, certainly I think we should, let's work a little bit more on the word Amuna versus Yudia. So if we look at the other Rishonim in relating to our Parsha, we will see that a number of Rishonim, whether the Rambam has a concept of Amuna or not, other Rishonim do. The Ramban, this is right, going back earlier in your sheet on Aseres HaDibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the Ramban writes, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hadibur Hazeh, Mitzvas Asei, Amar, Anochi Hashem, Yore Bietzave Osam, Sheyedu V'yaminu, Ki Yesh Hashem. So here, the Ramban uses two words, yedu v'yaminu. So it implies that yediyah and emunah are both part of the mitzvah of Anochi. It's interesting, Rosh Hashanah has a piece, which I put over here, we're not going to have a chance to read it inside, where he also argues that the Rambam would need both Yedi and Emunah, because he's assuming the Ibn Tibbon translation of Sefer HaMitzvos. So therefore, there's also a mitzvah. And he asked, he says, he writes in the story, he asked the Brisker Rav, what is the role of Emunah? In other words, if you have Yediyah, why do you need Emunah? According to the Ibn Tibbon translation, it's Akash and the Rambam. But regardless, it's Akash and the Ramban. So Rosh Hashanah says that Revelvel said in the name of Reb Chaim that Emunah begins where the intellect ends. And he cites a Beis HaLevi, you can see it cited over here, that supports this position. So it's a very interesting idea. In other words, what Reb Chaim was saying was that our minds are limited. They're limited by time and limited by space. So the mitzvah of Yediyah can't be everything. We can't have a mitzvah of Yediyah concerning that which doesn't exist in time and space. And where our intellect ends, that's where the mitzvah of Emunah begins. And I think you could add, perhaps, that God's existence could be proven, as the Rambam maintains. It's also intuitive. Knowledge of his existence is characterized as Yediyah. So going back to Avi's question, I believe the answer is that as long as a person knows this, he is fulfilled the mitzvah. If you know it because it's intuitive, if you know it because you've proven it, if you know it because this is what you're taught and that brings you to a place of certainty, so that is the mitzvah. Now, Avi is pointing us to the Rambam. So that's a fulfillment. The Rambam happens to think that the ideal way to come to this is through proof. He's quoting to us the Rambam. Avi's quoting the Rambam in Perek Beis, Halach Yiralef. Dvarim Elu Shamarnu B'inyan Zeh Prakim. As I mentioned, the first two Prakim are about metaphysics. Kimo Tipa Min Hayam Heim Mimash Etzarech Levar B'inyan Zeh. They're the tip of the iceberg. The first two prakim are called Ma'aser Merkava. That's 100% true. But you still haven't shown me anywhere where it says that you have to philosophize or study to philosophy to fulfill the mitzvah of Yediyah. That's not what he's saying over here. He's saying over here.
What does he mean by Ma'aser Merkava? He means metaphysics.
Where does it say metaphysics?
Let's say Ma'aser Merkava means metaphysics. That's totally fine. Ma'aser means metaphysics. Where did he say that you need to know metaphysics to fulfill the mitzvah of Anochi?
The citation. He's describing Aristotelian concepts.
In the halacha you presented, it didn't say that you must know this to fulfill the mitzvah of Anochi. Did he?
It seems to be so pushy. Like it seems to me doesn't even need to be said.
Aha. Uh-huh. So I guess we're disagreeing. I think if that's what he meant, that's what he would say. Again, there's no question that the Rambam held that studying philosophy or trying to prove God's existence is the best way to know and to fulfill the mitzvah of Anochi. But that's very different than I think what you're claiming, which is that it's only through philosophy that one could fulfill the mitzvah, as though if someone doesn't study philosophy, they're being mevatel the mitzvah of Yediyah. Okay, I told Rabbi Rothwax that I would finish at 10:15 because he has to go at 11. So Zach, I'm sorry, I see you do have a question, but we have to stop here. And we'll continue this Bezer Hashem next week. I'm very excited that we have a little bit of a pushback here. And hopefully, I think everyone should, over the coming week, work on the mitzvah of Anochi, both personally and trying to understand what it means. And Bezras Hashem, we'll continue the conversation. Also, feel free to continue the conversation also in yeshiva. I should be there. And you could ask me in person or email me or call or whatever it is. Okay. So, Rabbi Rothwax, are you there? Okay. Maybe not yet.
Thank you, Rabbi Blank.
Ah, Shkoyach.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Oh, Rabbi, thank you.
Okay. All right, Rathwak still isn't on yet. So if you want to ask your question, Zach.
I was just thinking that, I mean, I seem to remember the Rambam, like having something about, you know, appreciating God through nature, and he puts emphasis on that as well.
The beginning of Perek Beis, where he talks about Ketzad Hiya Derech Lavaso V'Yiraso. How does a person come to Ava Yerushalayim, Avas Hashem in Yerushalayim? And that includes through looking and studying in nature, contemplating it, realizing their smallness.
So do you think that might support Rav Soloveitchik, even if either of Rambam also has philosophical?
Well, that's, and again, there he's talking about Avas Hashem and Yerushalayim, but that's he's describing, there's no question that Ava and Yira, are relate to an emotional connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's so interesting in what Rav is saying is that's also part of Yediyah.